be friends? There it is. We are back to square one. I thought you said we couldn't be friends, and I won't be friends with you. I know what you mean by that. You want all the benefits of being a boyfriend without actually having to commit. His body sways and he leans on the table and loosens his grip on me.
Why is that so bad? Why do you need the label?
I'm thankful for the space between us and the fresh, scotch-free air. Because, Harden, even though I've not really had a lot of restraint lately, I do have self-respect. I will not be your plaything, especially when it involves being treated like dirt. I raise my hands into the air. And besides, I'm already taken, Harden. Harden's evil dimples come out with his smirk.
And yet look where you are right now.
Reflexively, I blurt out, I love him and he loves me. And then watch Harden's expression change. He lets go of me and stumbles over the chair.
Don't say that to me.
He slurs his words, which are coming out faster than before. I almost forgot how drunk he was. You're only saying this because you're drunk. Tomorrow you will go back to hating me.
I don't hate you.
He goes into the lawn a bit. I wish he didn't have this effect on me. I wish I could just walk away. But instead, I stick around and hear him say,
If you can look me in the eyes and tell me that you want me to leave you alone and never speak to you again, I will listen. I swear, from this point on, I will never come near you again. Just say the words.
I open my mouth to tell him just that, to tell him to stay far away from me, to tell him I never want to lay eyes on him again. He turns and comes closer.
Tell me, Tessa. Tell me that you never want to see me again.
Then he's touching me. He runs his hands along my arms and goosebumps immediately raise on my skin.
Tell me you never want to feel my touch again,
he whispers, bringing his hand to my neck. His index finger traces along my collarbone and back up and down my neck. I hear my breathing quicken as he brings his lips less than an inch from mine.
That you never want me to kiss you again,
he says, and I can smell the scotch and feel the heat off his breath.
Tell me, Teresa,
he coos, and I whimper. Harden, I whisper.
You can't resist me, Tessa, just as I can't resist you.
His lips are close to mine. They are almost touching.
Stay with me tonight,
he asks, and makes me want to do whatever he says. A movement by the door catches my eye, and I jerk away from Harden. Looking up, I see Landon's face twisted with confusion before he turns away and disappears from the doorway. I am snapped back into reality. I have to go, I say, and Harden curses under his breath.
Please, please stay. Just stay with me tonight, and if you decide in the morning to tell me you don't want to see me anymore, just please stay. I am begging you, and I don't beg, Teresa.
I find myself nodding before I can stop myself. And what will I tell Noah? He is waiting for me and I have his car. I can't believe I'm actually considering doing this.
Just tell him that you have to stay because... I don't know. Don't tell him anything. What's the worst thing he can do?
I shudder. He will tell my mother, without a doubt. Irritation toward Noah fills me. I should not have to worry about my boyfriend telling my mother on me, even if I do something wrong.
He's probably asleep anyway,
Harden says. No, he has no way to get back to his hotel.
Hotel? Wait, he doesn't stay with you?
No, he has a hotel room close by.
And you stay there with him?
No, he stays there, I say sheepishly, and I stay in my room.
Is he straight?
Harden asks, his bloodshot eyes dancing in amusement. My eyes go wide. Of course he is.
Sorry, but something is not right there. If you were mine, I wouldn't be able to stay away from you. I would fuck you every chance I had.
My mouth falls open. Harden's dirty words have the strangest effect on me. I flush and look away.
Let's go inside,
I hear him say.
The trees are swaying back and forth. I think that's my cue. I've had way too much to drink.
You're staying here? I had assumed he would go back to his frat house.
Yeah, and so are you. Let's go.
He grabs my hand and we walk toward the back door. I will have to find Landon and try to explain what he saw through the door. I don't know what's happening myself, so I'm not sure how I will explain it. But I have to make him understand somehow. As we walk through the kitchen, I notice the mess is almost completely cleaned up. You need to clean the rest of this tomorrow, I tell him, and he nods.
I will.
He promises. Yet another promise I hope he keeps. My hand in his, he leads me up the grand staircase. I pray that we don't run into Landon in the hallway, and I am relieved when we don't. Harden opens the door to a pitch-black room and gently pulls me inside. Chapter 32. My eyes adjust to the darkness, but the only light is a small streak of moonlight coming through the bay window. Harden? I whisper. I hear him curse as he trips over something, and I try not to laugh.
I'm right here,
he says and clicks on a desk lamp. I look around the large room, which reminds me of a hotel. A four-poster bed with dark linens is centered against the far wall and looks like a king size with at least 20 pillows on top. The desk is oversized and made of cherry wood, and the computer sitting on it has a bigger monitor than the television in my dorm room. The bay window has a built-in bench, while the other windows are masked with thick navy curtains that don't allow the moon to shine through.
This is my room,
he says, and rubs the back of his neck with his hand. He looks almost embarrassed. You have a room here? I ask, but of course he does. It is his father's house, and Landon obviously lives here. Landon had mentioned that Harden never comes here, so maybe that is why it looks so museum-like, untouched and impersonal.
Yeah, I haven't ever actually slept in it, until tonight.
He sits on the chest placed at the foot of the bed and unties his boots. He pulls his socks off and tucks them into the shoes. My heart swells at the idea that I am part of a first for Harden. Oh? Why is that? I am taking advantage of his drunken honesty.
Because I don't want to. I hate it here.
He answers quietly and unbuttons his black pants and pulls them down his legs. What are you doing?
Getting undressed,
he says, stating the obvious. I mean, why? Even though part of me is dying to feel his hands on me again, I hope he doesn't think I'm going to have sex with him.
Well, I'm not sleeping in skinny jeans and boots.
He half laughs. His hand sweeps the hair off his forehead, making it stand straight up. Everything he does sends that wild feeling through my body. Oh. He pulls his shirt over his head, and I can't look away. His tattooed stomach is flawless. He tosses the t-shirt at me, but I don't catch it, letting it fall to the ground. I raise one eyebrow at him and he smiles.
You can sleep in that. I assume you don't want to sleep in just your underwear. But of course, I'm perfectly fine with it if you do.
He winks and I giggle. Why am I giggling? I can't sleep in his t-shirt. I will feel too naked. I'm fine sleeping in this, I tell him. He eyes my outfit. He hasn't made a single rude comment about my long skirt or loose blue blouse, so I hope he doesn't start now.
Fine. Suit yourself. If you want to be uncomfortable, go ahead.
He moves toward the bed in only his boxers and begins to toss the decorative pillows onto the floor. I walk over and open the chest, and just as I had thought, it is empty. Oh, don't throw those down. They go in here, I tell him, but he just laughs and tosses another onto the floor. Groaning, I gather the pillows and stuff them into the chest. He again chuckles and pulls back the comforter before plopping down onto the bed. He crosses his arms behind his head, then crosses his feet and gives me a smile. The words tattooed on his ribs are stretched because of the position of his arms. His long, lean body looks exquisite.
You're not going to whine about sleeping in the bed with me, are you?
He asks, and I roll my eyes. I actually wasn't going to. I know it's wrong, but I want to sleep in the bed with Harden more than I think I have ever wanted anything. No, the bed is big enough for both of us, I say with a smile. I don't know if it's Harden's smile or the fact that he is wearing only boxers, but I'm in a much better mood than before.
Now that's the Tessa I love,
he teases, and my heart lurches at his choice of words. I know he doesn't and would never mean it that way, but it sounded so nice coming off his lips. I climb onto the bed and scoot to the edge, as far away from Harden's body as I can. Any farther and I'll fall off. I hear him chuckle and I roll over on my side to face him. What is so funny?
Nothing,
he lies, and bites his lip, trying not to laugh. I like this playful Hardin. His humor is contagious. Tell me, I pout and pucker out my bottom lip. His eyes go straight to my mouth, and he runs his tongue along his lips before hooking his lip ring between his teeth.
You've never slept in a bed with a guy before, have you?
He rolls onto his side and moves a little closer to me. No, I simply answer, and his smile grows. We are only a couple of feet apart, and before I know what I'm doing, my hand reaches out and pokes the little dimple on his cheek. His eyes dart to mine in surprise. I start to pull my hand away, but he grabs it and puts it back against his cheek, then moves it up and down his cheek slowly.
I don't know why no one has fucked you yet. All that planning you do must help you put up a really good resistance,
he says, and I gulp. I never really had to resist anyone, I admit. Guys in high school found me attractive and hit on me enough, but no one ever tried to actually have sex with me. They all knew I was with Noah. We were well-liked and were both voted onto homecoming court every year.
That's either a lie or you went to an all-blind high school. Your lips alone are enough to make me hard.
I gasp at his words and he chuckles. He brings my hand to his mouth and runs it along his wet lips. His breath is hot against my fingers, and I'm surprised when he bares his teeth and gently bites the pad of my index finger, somehow making me feel it in the pit of my stomach. He moves my hand down to his neck, and my fingertips trace the swirl of an ivy branch tattoo on his neck. He watches me carefully but doesn't stop me.
You like the way I talk to you, don't you?
His expression is dark but so sexy. My breathing hitches and he smiles again.
I can see the blush in your cheeks, and I can hear the way your breathing has changed. Answer me, Tessa. Put those full lips of yours to use,
he says, and I giggle. I don't know what else to do. I will never admit the way his words turn something on deep inside of me. He lets go of my hand but wraps his fingers around my wrist and closes the gap between us. I am hot. Too hot. I need to cool down or I will start sweating soon. Can you turn the fan on? I ask, and he furrows his brow. Please? He sighs but climbs off the bed.
If you are hot, why don't you change out of those heavy clothes? That skirt looks itchy anyway.
I had been waiting on him to tease me for my clothes, but this only makes me smile, since I can see his true motive here.
You should dress for your body, Tessa. These clothes you wear hide all of your curves. If I hadn't seen you in your bra and panties, I would never know how sexy and curvy your body actually is. That skirt literally looks like a potato sack.
I laugh, even though he is insulting me and somehow managing to compliment me at the same time. What do you suggest I wear? Fishnets and tube tops?
No. Well, I might love to see that, but no. You can still cover yourself, but wear clothes your size. That shirt hides your chest, too, and your tits are nothing you should be hiding.
Will you stop using those words? I scold him, and he smiles. Rejoining me on the bed, he scoots his practically naked body close to mine. I am still hot, but Hardin's odd way of complimenting me has given me a new wave of confidence. I climb out of bed.
Where are you going?
He slurs, his voice panicked. To change, I say, and walk over to grab his t-shirt from the floor. Now turn around and don't peek. I put my hands on my hips.
No.
What do you mean, no? How can he be telling me no?
I won't turn around. I want to see you.
Oh, okay. But I just smile, shake my head, and turn the light off. Hardin whines, and I smile to myself as I unzip my skirt. It pools at my feet when another light clicks on. Hardin! I hurry and pick the skirt back up. Hardin is leaning up on his elbows to look at me, and he isn't shy about his eyes moving up and down my body. He's seen me in less clothing before, and I know he isn't going to listen, so I take a deep breath and pull my shirt over my head. Not that I won't admit that I'm enjoying this little game we have going right now. I know deep down I want him to look at me, that I want him to want me. I'm wearing a plain white bra and white panties. Nothing fancy or special, but Hardin's expression makes me feel sexy. I take his t-shirt and pull it over my head. It smells so good, just like Hardin.
Come here,
he whispers from where he lies. I ignore my subconscious telling me to run away as fast as I can and walk toward the bed. Chapter 33. Hardin's blazing eyes don't leave mine as I make my way to him. I prop my knee up on the bed and push myself onto it. At the same time, Hardin lifts himself up so his back is against the headboard and holds his hand out for mine. The second I place my small hand in his, he wraps his fingers around it and pulls me onto him. My knees go around his sides, and I am straddling his lap. I've done this before with him, but never wearing so little clothing. I hold myself up using my knees so we aren't touching, but Hardin isn't having it. He positions his hands on my hips and gently pushes me down. His t-shirt bunches at my sides, burying my thighs completely, and I am suddenly glad that I shaved my legs this morning. The second our bodies touch, my stomach begins to stir. I know this happiness that I feel isn't going to last, and I feel like Cinderella, waiting for the clock to strike and end my blissful night.
"Much better,"
he says and gives me a crooked smile. I know he's drunk, and that's why he is being so nice. Well, nice for him. But right now I will take it. If this is truly my last time around him, then this is how I want to spend it. I keep telling myself that. I can behave however I want tonight with Hardin, because when the daylight comes, I am going to tell him never to come near me again, and he will oblige. It's for the best, and I know that is what he will want when he isn't intoxicated. In my defense, I am just as intoxicated by Hardin as he is by the bottle of scotch he consumed. I keep telling myself that, too. As Hardin continues to stare into my eyes, I begin to feel nervous. What should I do next? I have no idea where he wants to take this, and I don't want to make a fool out of myself by trying to do something first. He seems to notice my uncomfortable expression.
"What's wrong?"
he asks, and brings a hand to my face. His finger traces over my cheekbone, and my eyes involuntarily close at his surprisingly gentle touch. "Nothing. I just don't know what to do," I admit, and look down.
"Do whatever you want to do, Tess. Don't overthink it."
I lean back a little to create about a foot of space between our torsos and bring my hand up to his bare chest. I look at him for permission, and he nods. I press both hands against his chest softly, and he closes his eyes. My fingers trace the birds on his chest and down to the dead tree on his stomach. His eyelashes flutter as I trace the scripture on his ribs. His expression is so calm, but his chest is moving up and down quicker than it was a few moments ago. I'm unable to control myself as I bring my hand down and run my index finger along the waistband of his boxers. His eyes shoot open and he looks nervous. "Hardin, nervous? Can I, touch you?" I ask with the hope that he gets what I mean without me having to say it. I feel detached from myself. Who is this girl straddling this punk boy and asking to touch him down there? I think back to what Hardin said earlier about me being my true self with him. Maybe he is right. I love the way I feel right now. I love the electricity shooting through my body when we're like this. He nods.
"Please."
So I lower my hand, keeping it on top of his boxers, and slowly I reach the slight bulge in the fabric. He sucks in a breath as I graze my hand over him. I don't know what to do, so I just keep touching it, running my fingers up and down. I am too nervous to look up at him, so I keep my eyes on his growing crotch.
"Do you want me to show you what to do?"
he asks quietly, his voice shaky. The usual cocky demeanor has shifted into something mysterious. I nod, and he puts his hand over mine, bringing it down to touch him again. He opens my hand and makes my fingers cup around his length. When he sucks a breath between his lips, I look up at him through my lashes. He takes his hand off mine, giving me full control.
"Fuck, Tessa, don't do that,"
he growls. Confused, I still my hand, and I'm about to jerk it away when he speaks up.
"No, no, not that. Keep doing that. I mean, don't look at me that way."
"What way?"
"That innocent way. That look makes me want to do so many dirty things to you."
I want to throw myself back onto the bed and let him do whatever he wants. I want to be his, to be freed for a moment from whatever it is that makes me so scared sometimes. I give him a small smile and begin to move my hand again. I want to take his boxers off, but I'm afraid to. A moan escapes his lips, and I tighten my grip. I want to hear that sound again. I don't know if I should move my hand faster or not, so I keep my movement slow and tight, and he seems to like it. I lean in and press my lips against the clammy skin of his neck, causing him to moan again.
Fuck, Tess. Your hand feels so good wrapped around me.
I give him a little tighter squeeze and he winces.
Not that hard, baby,
he says in a voice that's soft and sounds like it could never be the same one that mocked me before. Sorry, I say, and kiss his neck again. My tongue runs over the skin beneath his ear, and his body jumps. His hands go to my chest, and he cups my breasts beneath his hands.
Can I take off your bra?
His voice is so uncontrolled and raspy. I'm amazed by the effect I am having on him. I nod, and his eyes light up in excitement. His hands are shaky as he reaches under the shirt and up my back, unclasping my bra as soon as his fingers touch the strap with a dexterity that makes me think for a minute about how many times he has done this before. I force the thoughts to the back of my mind, and Harden slides the straps down my arms, making me let go of him. Tossing my bra off the bed, he returns his hands up under my shirt and grabs hold of my breasts again. His fingers lightly pinch my nipples as he leans forward to kiss me. I moan into his mouth and reach down and grab his length again.
Oh, Tessa, I'm going to come,
he says, and I feel the wetness growing in my panties even though he is only touching my chest. I feel like I may come too, from his moans and his gentle assault against my breasts alone. His legs tense under me and his kiss becomes sloppier. His hands drop down by his sides and I feel a wetness spread through his boxers and pull my hand away. I have never made anyone else come before. My chest heats, filling with a strange new sense that I'm now one step closer to being a woman. Staring down at the wet spot on Harden's boxers, I love the control I feel over him. I love that I could bring his body pleasure the way he does mine. Harden's head rolls back and he takes a few deep breaths while I sit on his thighs, unsure what to do. After a moment, his eyes open and he lifts his head back up to look at me. A lazy smile crosses his face, and he leans forward to kiss me on my forehead.
I've never come like that before,
he says, and I am back to being embarrassed. It was that bad? I ask, and try to move off his legs. He stops me.
What? No, you were that good. It usually takes more than someone just grabbing me through my boxers.
A pang of jealousy hits me. I don't want to think about all the other girls that have made Harden feel this way. He takes in my silence and cups my cheek, brushing his thumb along my temple. I am comforted by the fact that others had to do more than I did, but I still wish there weren't any others. I don't know why I bother to feel this way. Harden and I are still unresolved. We are never going to date or be anything other than this, but right now, I just want to live in the moment, just the two of us. I laugh a little as the thought crosses my mind. I am not a live-in-the-moment type of person at all.
What are you thinking?
He asks, but I shake my head. I don't want to tell him about my jealous thoughts. It's not fair, and I don't want that conversation.
Oh, come on, Tessa. Just tell me,
he says, and I shake my head again. In a very unhardened move, he grabs hold of my hips and begins to tickle me. I scream with laughter and fall off him and onto the soft bed. He continues to tickle me until I can't breathe. His laughter booms through the room, and it's the most beautiful sound I have ever heard. I have never heard him laugh this way, and something tells me hardly anyone has. Despite his flaws, his many flaws, I consider myself lucky to see him in this moment. Okay, okay, I will tell you, I screech, and he stops.
Good choice,
he says, but looking down he adds,
But hold that thought. I need to change my boxers.
I blush. Chapter 34. Harden goes over to his dresser and opens the top drawer, pulling out a pair of blue and white plaid boxers, and holds them up in the air with a disgusted look on his face. What? I ask, and prop my head up on my elbow and look at him.
These are hideous,
he says. I laugh, but I'm also pleased that the earlier secret about whether or not there were clothes in the dresser is now settled at least. Landon's mother or Harden's father must have purchased all the clothes in the room for Harden. Which is sad, really, that they would buy clothes and fill the dresser in hopes that Harden would come around sometime. They aren't so bad, I tell him, and he rolls his eyes. I doubt anything will look as good as Harden's usual black boxer briefs. But then again, I can't imagine anything looking actually bad on him.
Well, beggars can't be choosers. Back in a minute,
he says, and walks out of the room wearing only his wet boxers. Oh, God, what if Landon sees him? I will be humiliated. I need to find Landon first thing in the morning to explain the turn of events. But really, what am I going to say? It's not what it looked like. We were just talking, and then I agreed to stay the night, and somehow I ended up in my panties and a t-shirt, and then gave him the closest thing to a hand job that I know of. That sounds terrible. I lay my head onto the pillows and stare at the ceiling. I consider getting up and checking my phone, but decide against it. The last thing I need right now is to read texts from Noah. He is probably panicking, but honestly, as long as he doesn't tell my mother, I don't care as much as I should. If I'm completely honest with myself, I haven't felt the same about Noah since I kissed Harden for the first time. I know I love Noah. I have always loved Noah, but I'm beginning to question whether I really love him as a boyfriend and someone I could spend my life with, or if I love him because he has always been such a stable person in my life. He's always been there for me, and on paper we're perfect for each other, but I can't ignore the way I feel when I'm with Harden. I've never had these types of feelings before. Not just when we're on top of each other, but the way he gives me butterflies just by looking at me. The way I find myself desperately wanting to see him, even when I'm fuming mad at him. And mostly, the way he always invades my thoughts, even when I try to convince myself that I hate him. Harden has gotten under my skin no matter how hard I try to deny it. I'm in his bed instead of with Noah. On cue, the door opens and I am snapped from my thoughts. I look up and see Harden in the clean plaid boxers and giggle. They are a little too big and much longer than his briefs, but they still look great. I like them, I smile, and he glares at me before turning out the light and switching on the television. He climbs back onto the bed and lies down close to me.
So what were you going to tell me?
He asks, and I cringe. I was hoping he wouldn't bring it up again.
Don't be shy now. You've just made me come in my boxers.
He jokes, and then pulls me closer to him. I bury my head in the pillow and laugh. I pull my head up and Harden tucks my hair behind my ear before giving me a soft kiss on my lips. It's the first time he has kissed me that tenderly, and yet it feels more intimate than when we kiss with tongue. He lays his head back on the pillow and changes the channel. I want him to hold me until I fall asleep, but I get the feeling Harden is not a cuddling type of guy.
I want to be good for you, Tess.
Harden's words from earlier tonight play in my head, and I wonder if he meant them or if he was just really drunk. Are you still drunk? I ask, and lay my head on his chest. His body stills, but he doesn't push me off.
No, I think our little screamy match in the yard sobered me up,
he says. One of his hands is holding the remote, and the other is hanging in the air awkwardly, as if he doesn't know what to do with it. Oh, well, at least something good came out of it. He turns his head and looks down at me.
Yeah, I guess so,
he says, and finally puts his hand on my back. It's an amazing feeling having him hold me. No matter what terrible thing he says to me tomorrow, he can't take this moment away from me. This is my new favorite place to be, my head on his chest and his arm on my back. I think I actually like drunk Harden better, I yawn.
Is that so?
He says and turns to look at me. Maybe, I tease and close my eyes.
You're terrible at distractions. Now tell me.
I might as well just tell him. I know he isn't going to drop it. Well, I was just thinking of all the girls you've, you know, done things with. I try to hide my face in his chest, but he drops the remote on the bed and tilts my chin up to look at him.
Why were you thinking about that?
I don't know. Because I have literally no experience and you have a lot. Steph included, I answer. The image of the two of them together makes me nauseous.
Are you jealous, Tess?
His voice is full of humor. No, of course not, I lie.
So you don't mind if I tell you a few details, then?
No, please don't, I beg, and he chuckles and wraps his arm a little tighter around me. He doesn't say anything else about it, and I could not be more relieved. I couldn't bear to hear the details of his flings. I feel my eyes getting heavier and try to focus on the television. I am so comfortable lying here in his arms.
You're not going to sleep, are you? It's still early,
he says, barely breaking through my haze. Is it? It feels like it has to be at least 2 in the morning. I arrived here around 9.
Yeah, it's only midnight.
That isn't early. I yawn again.
To me it is. Plus, I want to return the favor.
What? Oh, my skin is starting to tingle already.
You want me to, don't you?
He purrs, and I gulp. Of course I do. I look up at him and try to hide my eager smile. He notices and with a swift, delicate motion flips us over so he is hovering above me. He supports his weight with one arm while his other hand reaches lower. I bring my leg up to his side, and when my knee bends, he runs his hand from my ankle to the top of my thigh.
So soft,
he says and repeats the motion. He gives my thigh a light squeeze and my skin is covered in goosebumps within seconds. Hardin leans over and places a single kiss on the side of my knee, causing my leg to jerk. He grabs it and laughs, hooking his arm around it. What is he going to do? The anticipation is driving me crazy.
I want to taste you, Tessa,
he says, eyes locked on mine to gauge my reaction. My mouth is instantly parched. Why is he asking to kiss me when he knows he can do that any time? I part my lips and wait for him.
No. Down here,
he corrects me, bringing his hand in between my legs. My lack of experience must astound him, but he at least tries to fight his smile. I frown at him, and his finger touches me over my panties, causing me to suck in a breath. His finger makes soft strokes over my sex as he continues to look into my eyes.
You're already wet for me.
His voice is raspier than usual. His hot breath stings my ear and he runs his tongue along my earlobe.
Talk to me, Tessa. Tell me how badly you want it.
He smirks and I squirm as he applies more pressure to my sensitive area. I can't find my voice because my body is on fire from his touch. After a few more seconds, he pulls his hand away and I whimper. I didn't want you to stop, I whine.
You didn't say anything,
he snaps, and I recoil. I don't want this, Hardin. I want the laughing, playful Hardin. Couldn't you tell? I ask him, and move to sit up. He pulls himself up and sits on my thighs, holding his weight on his parted knees. He brushes his fingers across the tops of my thighs, and my body instantly reacts, shifting my hips to meet his.
Say it,
Hardin instructs. I know that he is well aware that I do. He just wants to make me say it aloud. I nod, and he waves his finger back and forth in front of me.
No nodding. Just tell me what you want, baby,
he says, and climbs off of my knees. I mentally weigh the pros and cons of this situation. Is the humiliation of telling Hardin that I want him to kiss me down there worth the feeling I will get from him doing it? If it feels anywhere near as good as what Hardin did to me with his fingers the other day, then I know it's worth it. I reach out and grab his bare shoulder to stop him from moving any farther away from me. I'm overthinking this. I know I am, but my mind won't stop racing. I want you to. I move closer to him.
Want me to what, Teresa?
He has to be kidding me. He knows exactly what he's doing. You know, to kiss me, I say, and his smile grows. He leans over and plants a kiss on my lips. I roll my eyes, and he kisses my lips again.
Is that what you wanted?
He says with a smirk, and I swat his arm. He is going to make me beg him. Kiss me there. I blush and cover my face with my hands. He pulls them away, laughing, and I frown at him. You're embarrassing me on purpose, I scowl. His hands are still on mine.
I'm not meaning to embarrass you. I just want to hear you say what you want from me.
Never mind, Hardin, I say, and sigh loudly. Because I am embarrassed, and maybe my hormones are going haywire and messing with my emotions, but now the moment has passed and I'm annoyed with his ego and constant need to goad me. I roll over and lie on my side, facing away from him, and cover myself with the blanket.
Hey, I'm sorry,
he says, but I ignore him. I know part of me is just annoyed at myself that being around Hardin has turned me into a typical hormonal teenager. Good night, Hardin, I snap, and hear him sigh. He He mutters something under his breath that sounds like fine, but I don't ask him to repeat it. I force my eyes closed and try to think of anything besides Hardin's tongue or the way his arm just draped across my body as I fall asleep. Chapter 35. I am hot. Too hot. I try to pull the covers off me, but they won't budge. When my eyes open, the night before comes flooding into my mind. Hardin screaming at me in the yard, the scotch on his breath, the broken glass in the kitchen, Hardin kissing me, Hardin moaning as I touched him, his wet boxers. I try to lift myself, but he's too heavy, his head lying across my chest and his arm wrapped around my waist, his body cloaking mine. I'm surprised we ended up like this. He must have moved this way in his sleep. I do admit I don't want to leave this bed, leave Hardin, but I have to. I have to get back to my room. Noah is there. Noah. Noah. I gently push Hardin off by his shoulder, rolling him onto his back. Then he rolls onto his stomach and groans but doesn't wake. I hurry to my feet and grab my scattered clothes off the floor. Being the coward that I am, I want to be out of here by the time he wakes. Not that he'll mind. At least he won't have to invest his energy in hurting me on purpose if I leave on my own. This way is better for both of us. Regardless of how we laughed together last night, nothing is the same in the light of day. Hardin will remember how we got along pretty well last night, and then will feel the need to be extra hateful to make up for it. It's what he does, and I will not be around this time. For a second last night, the thought had crossed my mind that maybe our night together would change his mind, make him want to have more with me. But I know better, really. I fold his t-shirt neatly on the dresser and zip my skirt up. My shirt is wrinkled from lying on the floor last night, but that's really the least of my worries at the moment. I slip my feet into my shoes, and as I grab hold of the door handle, I think, one more look back won't hurt. I look back to the sleeping Hardin. His messy hair is sprawled onto the pillow, and his arm is now draped over the side of the bed. He looks so peaceful, so beautiful, despite the pieces of metal in his face. I turn back around and turn the door handle.
Tess?
My heart drops. I slowly turn back around to Hardin, expecting to see his harsh green eyes glaring at me. But instead, they are closed. A frown is set on his face, but he is still asleep. I can't decide if I'm relieved that he is asleep or somber that he called out my name. Is that what he did, or am I hearing things now? I jump out of the room and gently close the door behind me. I have no idea how to get out of this house. I walk straight down the hall and am relieved to find the stairs easily. I pad down the stairs and nearly collide with Landon. My pulse quickens as I try to think of something to say. His eyes scan my face, and he stays silent, waiting for an explanation, I assume. Landon, I have no idea what to say.
Are you okay?
He asks with concern. Yeah, I'm fine. I know you must think...
I don't think anything. I really do appreciate you coming. I know you don't like Hardin, and it means a lot to me that you would come here to help get him in control.
Oh, he is so nice. Too nice. I almost want him to tell me how disgusted he is that I stayed the night with Hardin, that I left my boyfriend alone in my room all night after I took his car and ran to Hardin's rescue, just so I feel as bad as I should.
So are you and Hardin friends again?
He asks, and I shrug. I have no idea what we are. I have no idea what I'm doing. I break into sobs. Landon wraps his arms around me in a warm and comforting hug.
It's okay. I know he can be so terrible, Landon says softly.
Wait. He must think that I'm crying because Hardin did something terrible to me. He would probably never assume that I'm crying because of my feelings for Hardin. I need to get out of here before I ruin Landon's good opinion of me and before Hardin wakes up. I have to go. Noah is waiting, I say, and Landon gives me a sympathetic smile before saying goodbye. I get into Noah's car and drive back to my dorm as fast as I can, crying most of the way there. How will I explain this all to Noah? I know I have to. I can't lie to him. I just can't imagine how much this will hurt him. I'm a terrible person for doing this to him. Why couldn't I just stay away from Hardin? I've calmed myself as much as I can before I pull into the student lot. I walk as slow as I can, unsure how I'm going to face Noah. When I open the door to our room, I find Noah lying back on my small bed, staring at the ceiling. He jumps up when he sees me come in.
"Jesus, Tessa, where have you been all night? I've been calling you nonstop," he shouts.
This is the first time Noah has ever actually raised his voice at me. We've bickered before, but this is a little scary to see. "I am so, so sorry, Noah. I went to Landon's house because Harden was drunk and he was breaking things, and the time just got lost, I guess. So by the time we cleaned up, it was really late and my phone was dead," I lie. I can't believe I'm lying straight to his face. All the times he has been there for me, and here I am lying to him. I know I should tell him, but I can't imagine hurting him.
"Why didn't you use someone else's phone?"
he says forcefully, but then pauses.
"Never mind. Harden was breaking stuff? Are you okay? Why did you stay there if he was being violent?"
I feel like he is asking me 1,000 questions at once, disorienting me. "He wasn't being violent. He was just drunk. He wouldn't hurt me," I say, and cover my mouth, desperately wishing I could push those last words back in.
"What do you mean he wouldn't hurt you? You don't even know him, Tessa,"
he snaps and takes a step toward me. "I'm just saying that he wouldn't hurt me, like, physically. I know him well enough to know that. I was just trying to help Landon, who was there too," I say back. "But Harden would hurt me emotionally. He already has, and I'm sure he will try again, and here I am defending him."
"I thought you were going to stop hanging around those type of people. Didn't you promise me and your mom that you would? Tessa, they aren't good for you. You've started drinking and staying out all night, and you left me here all night. I don't know why you even had me come here if you were just going to leave."
He sits down on the bed and rests his head on his hands. "They aren't bad people. You don't know them. When did you become so judgmental?" I ask him. I should be begging for him to forgive me for how badly I've treated him, but I can't help but be irritated by the way he's talking about my friends. Mostly Harden, my subconscious reminds me, and I want to slap her.
"I am not judgmental, but you would never have hung out with those goth people before."
"What? They aren't gothic, Noah. They're just themselves," I say. I am as surprised by the defiance in my words as Noah is.
"Well, I don't like you hanging out with them. They're changing you. You aren't the same Tessa that I fell in love with."
I realize then that his tone hasn't been malicious at all. It's just sad. "Well, Noah," I begin, and the door flies open. My eyes follow Noah's to an angry Harden storming into the room. I look at Harden, then at Noah, and back to Harden. There is no way this is going to go well. Chapter 36. "What are you doing here?" I ask Harden, even though I do not want to hear the answer, especially not in front of Noah.
"What do you think? You snuck out on me while I was asleep. What the hell was that?"
he booms. I hold my breath as his voice echoes off the wall. Noah's face flashes with anger, and I know that he's beginning to put the puzzle pieces together. And I'm torn between trying to explain to Noah what is going on and trying to explain to Harden why I left.
"Answer me,"
Harden yells and stands in front of my face. I'm surprised when Noah steps between us.
"Don't yell at her,"
he warns Harden. I'm frozen in place while Harden's face twists in anger. Why is he so mad that I left? He was mocking my inexperience last night and would have kicked me out this morning probably anyway. I need to say something before this all blows up in my face. "Harden, please don't do this right now," I beg. If he leaves now, I can try to explain to Noah what is going on.
"Do what, Teresa?"
Harden asks and walks around Noah. I hope Noah keeps his distance. I don't think Harden will hesitate to take him down. Noah is pretty buff from soccer, especially compared to Harden's lean body, but I have no doubt that Harden can hold his own and most likely win. What the hell is happening in my life that I have to worry about Noah and Harden fighting? "Harden, please just go and we will talk about this later," I say, trying to diffuse things. But Noah just shakes his head.
"Talk about what? What the hell is going on, Tessa?"
"Oh, God."
"Tell him. go on and tell him.
Hardin says, I can't believe he is doing this. I know how cruel he can be, but this takes it to a whole other level.
Tell me what, Tessa?
Noah asks, and I can see his stance is an aggressive one, because of Hardin, but it's softening as he wonders about me. Nothing, just what you know, that I stayed at Hardin and Landon's last night, I lie. I try to match my gray eyes to Hardin's in hopes that he will stop this now, but he looks away immediately.
Tell him, Tessa, or I will,
Hardin growls. I know it's all lost. I know there's no hiding anything anymore, and I begin to cry. But I want Noah to hear it from me, not the smirking asshole who's brought us to this point. I'm humiliated, not for myself, but for Noah. He doesn't deserve any of this, and I'm ashamed of the way I've treated him and the confessions I'm going to be forced to make in front of Hardin. Noah, me and Hardin have been... I start.
Oh my God.
Noah stutters, and his eyes begin to water. How could I do this to him? What the hell was I thinking? Noah is so kind, and Hardin's cruel enough to break Noah's heart in front of him. Noah's hands go to his forehead, and he shakes his head.
How could you, Tessa? After everything we have been through. When did this start?
Tears stream down his face from his bright blue eyes. I have never felt this terrible. I caused those tears. I look over at Hardin, and my hatred for him consumes me so that I shove him instead of answering Noah. Hardin is caught off guard and stumbles backward, but he steadies himself before he falls. Noah, I am so sorry. I don't know what I was thinking. I rush over to my boyfriend and try to hug him, but he refuses to let me touch him, and he's probably right to. If I'm being honest, I've not been good to Noah for a while. I don't know what the hell I was thinking. I suppose something crazy, like Hardin becoming decent and me breaking up with Noah so I could date him. How stupid can I be? Or that I could just stay away from Hardin and Noah would never know about what happened between us. The problem is that I can't stay away from Hardin. I am a moth to his flame, and he never hesitates to burn me. Both were stupid and naive ideas, but I haven't made one good choice since I've met Hardin.
I don't know what you were thinking either,
Noah says, with a look of regret and hurt in his eyes.
I don't even know you anymore.
And with that, he walks out the door, out of my life. Noah, please, wait! I rush after him, but Hardin grabs my arm and tries to pull me back. Don't touch me! I can't believe you! This is low, Hardin, even for you, I scream and jerk my arm out of his grasp. I push him again, hard. I have never pushed anyone in my life before today, and I hate him so much.
If you go after him, I'm done,
he says, and my mouth falls open. Done? Done with what? Fucking with my emotions? I hate you! But not wanting him to feed off my rage, I slow down and speak more calmly. You can't end something that never began. His hands fall to his sides and his mouth opens, but no words come out. Noah? I call and rush out the door. I run down the hall and out across the great lawn, finally catching up to him in the parking lot. He starts walking faster. Noah, please listen. I am sorry. So sorry. I was drinking. I know that isn't an excuse, but I wipe my eyes and his face softens.
I can't listen to you anymore,
he says. His eyes are red. I reach for his hand, but he pulls away. Noah, please. I am so sorry. Please forgive me. Please. I can't lose him. I just can't. Reaching his car, he runs a hand over his perfectly gelled hair, then turns to face me.
I just need some time, Tessa. I don't know what to think right now.
I sigh in defeat, not knowing what to say to that. He just needs time to get over this, and we can go back to normal. He just needs time, I tell myself.
I love you, Tessa,
Noah says, then catches me by surprise when he kisses my forehead before climbing into his car and driving away. Chapter 37. Being the disgusting person that he is, Hardin is sitting on my bed when I return. Visions of me grabbing the lamp and bashing him in the head flash through my mind, but I don't have the energy to fight with him.
I'm not going to apologize,
Harden tells me as I walk past him toward Steph's bed. I will not sit on my bed while he's on it. I know you aren't, I say, and lie back. I won't let him bait me into this fight, and I don't expect him to apologize. I know him better by now. Well, recent history would say that I don't know him at all. Last night I thought he was just an angry boy whose father left him, and that he held on to that hurt, using the only emotion he could to keep people out. This morning I see that he is just a terrible, hateful person. There is nothing good about Harden. At any moment I believed there was, it was only because that is what he tricked me into believing.
He needed to know,
he says. I bite down on my lip to prevent the tears from returning. I stay quiet until I hear Harden get up and move toward me. Just go, Harden, I say. But when I look up, he is standing over me. When he sits down on the bed, I jump up.
He needed to know,
he repeats, and anger boils inside me. I know he just wants to get a rise out of me. Why, Harden? Why did he need to know? How could hurting him possibly be a good thing? You weren't affected one bit by him not knowing. You could have gone on with your day without telling him. You had no right to do that to him or me. I feel the tears coming again, but this time I can't stop them.
I would want to know if I was him,
he says, his voice steady and cold. You aren't him, though, and you never will be. I was stupid to think you could possibly be anything even close to him. And since when do you care about what is right?
Don't you compare me to him,
he snaps. I hate the way he chooses only one of my statements to respond to, and that he usually warps what I'm saying to better provoke himself. He stands up and moves toward me, but I back away to the other side of the bed. There is no comparison. Don't you get that by now? You are a cruel and disgusting jerk who doesn't give a shit about anyone but yourself. And he loves me. He is willing to try to forgive me for my mistakes. I stare into his eyes. My terrible mistakes, I add. Harden takes a step back as if I'd pushed him.
Forgive you?
Yeah, he will forgive me for this. I know he will, because he loves me. So your pathetic plan to get him to break up with me so you can sit back and laugh didn't work. Now get out of my room.
That wasn't... I...
He starts to say, but I cut him off. I've wasted enough time on him already. Get out! I know you're probably already plotting your next move against me, but guess what, Harden? It isn't going to work anymore. Now get the fuck out of my room! I'm surprised at my harsh words, but I don't feel bad for using them against Harden.
That isn't what I'm doing, Tess. I thought after last night... I don't know. I thought you and I...
He seems to be at a loss for words, which is a first. Part of me, a huge part of me, is dying to know what he is going to say. But this is how I got so tangled in his web in the first place. He uses my curiosity against me like it's all a game to him. I furiously wipe my eyes, thankful I didn't wear makeup yesterday. You aren't really expecting me to buy that, are you? That you feel something about me? I need to stop, and he needs to leave before his claws sink deeper into me.
Of course I do, Tessa. You make me feel so...
No. I don't want to hear it, Harden. I know you're lying, and this is your sick way of getting off. To make me believe that you could possibly feel the same way about me as I do about you, and then we'll flip the switch. I know how this goes by now, and I won't keep it going.
Feel the same way you do? Are you saying that you have feelings for me?
His eyes flash with what appears to be hope. He is a much better actor than I thought. He knows I do. He has to know that. What other reason could there be for me to keep this unhealthy cycle between us going? With a fear I've never felt before, I realize that though I had barely admitted my feelings for Harden to myself, I now have put them out there in front of him, giving him easy access to smash them, worse than he already has. I feel my walls slowly being torn down by the way Harden is looking at me, and I can't let it happen. Leave, Harden. I won't ask again. If you don't leave, I will call campus security.
Tess, please answer me,
he begs. Don't call me Tess. That name is reserved for family, friends, For people who actually care about me. Now leave, I yell, much louder than I had planned. I need him to get out and get away from me. I hate when he calls me Teresa, but I hate when he calls me Tess even more. Something about the way his lips move when he says it makes it sound so intimate, so lovely. Damn it, Tessa, just stop.
Please, I need to know if you...
What a long weekend, boys and girls. I am exhausted, Steph says as she bursts into the room, playful exhaustion coloring her words. But when she notices my tear-stained cheeks, she stops and her eyes narrow at Harden.
What is going on? What did you do?
She yells at him.
Where is Noah?
She asks and looks at me. He left, just like Harden is about to, I tell her.
Tessa,
Harden begins. Steph, please make him leave, I beg, and she nods. Harden's mouth falls open with annoyance at my use of Steph against him. He thought he had me trapped again.
Let's go, boy wonder,
she says and grabs his arm, dragging him toward the door. I stare at the wall until I hear the door shut, but immediately hear their voices in the hall.
What the hell, Harden? I told you to stay away from her. She is my roommate, and she's not like the other girls you mess with. She's nice, innocent, and honestly, too good for you.
I am pleased and surprised by the way she is sticking up for me, but it still doesn't soothe the pain in my chest. My heart literally hurts. I thought I had experienced heartbreak after my day with Harden at the stream, but that was nothing compared to how I feel right now. I hate to admit it to myself, but I know that spending the night with Harden last night made my feelings for him so much stronger than they already were. Hearing him laugh while he tickled me, the way he gently kissed my lips, his tattooed arms wrapping around me, the way his eyes fluttered and closed when I traced my fingers over his bare skin, all of it made me fall deeper for him. Those intimate moments between us that made me care for him more also make this hurt so much more. On top of that, I have hurt Noah in a way that I can only pray he forgives me for.
It's not like that.
In his anger, his accent has become thick and his words clipped.
Bullshit, Harden. I know you. Find someone else to mess around with. There are plenty of other girls. She isn't the type of girl you need to be doing this with. She has a boyfriend and she can't handle this shit.
I don't like hearing her say that I'm too sensitive, like I'm weak or something, but I guess she is right. I have done nothing but cry since I met Harden, and now he has tried to ruin my relationship with Noah. I don't have what it takes to be something like friends with benefits, regardless of how he makes me feel. I have more respect for myself than that, and I'm too emotional.
Fine. I will stay away from her. But don't bring her to any more parties at my house,
he snaps, and I hear him stomping off. As he goes down the hall, his voice recedes too as he yells,
I mean it. I don't want to see her again, and if I do, I will ruin her.
Chapter 38. Steph walks in and right away wraps her tiny arms around me. It's odd that her frail arms can feel so comforting. Thank you for making him leave, I say, sobbing, and she hugs me tighter. My tears really are flowing now, and I don't see an end in sight.
Harden may be my friend, but so are you, and I don't want him upsetting you. I'm sorry, this is all my fault. I knew I should have given my key to Nate, and I shouldn't have let him come around you all the time. He can be a real dick.
No, it's not your fault at all. I am sorry. I don't want to come in between your friendship.
Oh, please,
she says. I pull out of her embrace and see the look of concern on her face. I appreciate her being here with me more than she will ever know. I feel completely alone. Noah's taking time to decide whether to break up with me or not. Harden is an asshole. My mother would lose it if I talked to her about this, and Landon would be disappointed in me if he knew the depth of my situation with Harden. I literally have no one except this flame-haired, tattooed girl who I never expected would become my friend, but I'm really glad she did.
Do you want to talk about it?
I do, actually. I want to get it all off my chest. I tell her everything. From the first time I kissed Harden to our day at the stream, to the orgasm I gave him and how he called my name in his sleep, to the way he destroyed every ounce of respect I had for him when he made me tell Noah. Her face goes from concerned to shocked to sad during my story. My shirt is soaked with tears by the time I finish, and she is holding my hand.
Wow, I had no idea that so much happened. You could have told me after the first time. I knew something was up when Harden showed up here the night we were going to the movies. I had literally just got off the phone with him, then he shows up, so I'd suspected he came here to see you. Listen, Harden is a good guy sometimes. I mean, deep down, he just doesn't know how to really care for someone the way that you, well, most girls, need to be cared for. If I was you, I would try to make things work with Noah because Harden isn't capable of being anyone's boyfriend, she says, and squeezes my hand.
I know everything she is saying is true, and she is right, so why does it hurt so bad? On Monday morning, Landon is leaning against the brick outside the coffee house waiting for me. I wave when I see him, but then I notice he has a blue-purple ring around his left eye, and when I look closer, I see another bruise on his cheek. "What happened to your eye?" I exclaim, running up to him. Realization hits me like a truck. "Landon, did Harden do this?" My voice is shaky.
"Yeah,"
he admits, and I am horrified. "Why? What happened? I want to kill Harden for hurting Landon."
"He stormed out of the house after you left and then came back about an hour later. He was so pissed. He started looking around for more stuff to break, so I stopped him. Well, I fought with him. It wasn't so bad, actually. I think both of us got a lot of our anger toward each other out. I got quite a few good hits on him, too," he boasts.
I don't know what to say. I'm surprised at Landon's light tone while talking about fighting with Harden. "Are you sure you're okay? Is there anything I can do?" I ask him. I feel like this is my fault. Harden was mad because of me, but assaulting Landon?
"No, really. I'm okay,"
he smiles. While we walk to class, he tells me how Harden's